Dr. Tom Jackson is a psychiatrist who specializes in the treatment of sleep disorders and anxiety. He's been doing so for the past 30 years. He's the originator of the Dream Child Adventures audio programs. He joins us now. Tom, thanks for taking some time to chat with us on WILS.
Well, and thank you, Michael, for the opportunity.
You know, I guess back in the day, mom or dad or somebody would read a little book, you'd fall asleep, and that was it. Is this audio program kind of a substitute for that?
It sure can be. It's a great way if you just don't feel like you have the time or inclination to sit with your child and read a bedtime story. It's a wonderful way to actually provide something that's entertaining and they can unwind with it and fall asleep.
I mean, is that what it amounts to, that when children are trying to fall asleep, being read to seems to be the most effective way to do that?
Well, it's one of the things you can do, but this is much more than storytelling. I'm combining a number of relaxation techniques and putting a little magic in it. Hmm. Plus, my programs are recorded in three-dimensional sound, which adds an element that is truly astounding. They're listened to with headphones, and the 3D makes it so real that we just sort of transport them into an imaginary situation where they in the beginning go to the zoo or the fair or the circus, and then it starts to unwind, and I take them out into nature, and then I apply all sorts of tricky techniques to get them very relaxed and put them on into sleep.
Well, that
so
sounds,
it's much more than just reading a story to them.
That sounds quite interesting. Can you give me maybe one or two of these techniques that helps relax these kids?
I'm using all sorts of things. Being in nature itself, we're finding just that immersion process tends to bring about a really deep state of relaxation. Then in terms of using storytelling and metaphor and actual breathing techniques, having them breathe into their stomach and diaphragmatic, you know, sort of stimulation, this all adds up to a deeply relaxing kind of experience.
It seems like for adults that have a hard time sleeping, it's very difficult to change that pattern. Does that tend to be less of the case with children?
Well, kids turn out to be really good at relaxation techniques. In fact, my first programs were for adults, and they ended up using them with their kids and reporting back and saying, hey, this has worked great with my child. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to do programs for kids too, only they need to be a little bit more entertaining. So I went out and recorded things like the zoo and the fair and the circus so that it would really grab their attention, plus then take them out into nature to do the relaxing part of it.
Hmm. What is it that happens that a child suddenly has an issue sleeping? Does it tend to be something that has been lifelong for them since they were babies, or does it just happen does it occur out of the blue?
It can be all of the above. Some people seem genetically to have a proclivity to not sleep well. Others, it can come about for any number of reasons. A particular stressful event can come up in their lives that can cause fear and confusion and anxiety. Psychiatric problems can do it. Medical problems like diabetes, asthma, obstructive sleep apnea can show up. So there's lots of different things that can cause it.
And what is your sense? Do you think there is a genetic factor? Do you see if a child has an issue, the parents do also? Or do you think it is largely environmental?
Well, it's both. There's a higher probability that a child will struggle with sleep if parents have struggled.
I'm talking to Dr. Tom Jackson, a psychiatrist and also the originator of the Dream Child Adventures audio programs. So when you have a child come in, I'm guessing many times they're not coming in for a sleep disorder, it's anxiety or some other issue. How often is it that sleep is the core of the problem?
Wow. Usually they're presenting to me, like you said, for any number of other things that are going on with them. But I will often recognize that sleep is a core component. And it turns out, you know, sometimes they look like they've got attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and yet along with sleep problems. And if I will treat the sleep problems, suddenly all these other anxiety-related behavioral and emotional issues clear up magically. So all sorts of things are related to the central issue of sleep.
Do kids then have an issue typically of falling asleep or staying asleep?
All of the above.
I see. Well, I guess that would be tricky with these tapes, right? Because once they wake up in the middle of the night and put the headphones back on?
Well, they can do that, but interestingly, children who have used the programs wake up less often. We also saw, as we did research with Air Force pilots, and that was demonstrated with that, both adults and children who use the sleep programs tend not to wake up as much because they seem to achieve deeper states of sleep.
Hmm. But isn't a lot of the problem lifestyle issues? Aren't kids, let's say, eating a lot of sugar before bedtime? Isn't that really where the sleeping problem comes in rather than anything, let's say, psychological?
Well, it's probably more along the lines of limit setting, you know, not having proper sleep schedules, than it is dietary. They haven't seen a huge correlation with diet in terms of sleep. I mean, diet affects everything. It's not that it's a non-issue, but it doesn't tend to be a primary issue.
The people that I've known that have a real hard time sleeping, it from what I can tell, it certainly looks like it's not due to any particular stress. It's almost like they have that tendency in just the way they are. They don't sleep deeply, and they don't sleep easily. Do you find that to be often the case?
Yes, it often is. And yet they may have developed just bad habits over the years. I'll have patients come in and say, well, I can't sleep unless the TV's on. And then they'll say, well, it's been that way since I was a little kid. Well, yeah, that's often a habit that started as a little kid, and those people universally don't sleep well and tend to have nightmares, and it's just a bad habit they've developed.
Now, you talk about a nature deficit disorder. What exactly is that?
Well, that is based on the work of Mr. Louv, Richard Louv, who has written a couple books showing... summarizing the research, showing that both with adults and children, it's almost like we're hardwired to have an experience of that's very close to nature. And with modern society, most of us have been pulled out of that relationship, much to our detriment, both physiologically and psychologically. So there's a lot of research now that shows children who are in a learning environment that has nature mixed into it, their behavior problems decrease, they do better academically. So he coined the term nature deficit disorder, rather clever, I think. But it really does appear to be significant. The first research I saw that sort of knocked my socks off along this line was when they just studied people who were in a hospital, two different wings, who had the same kind of surgery over a number of years, and one of them faced out on nature, another faced a brick wall. And the ones who were looking out on nature actually got out of the hospital on average a day earlier and used less pain medication. And that was just looking out a window.
Well, that might call for camping in the backyard. One last thing, medicating a child who's having a hard time sleeping, adults seem to do it quite a lot. At what point do you do that with a child?
It really should be a last resort. You need to exhaust all the behavioral interventions. It's probably inappropriate 99% of the time. There are the rare exceptions where the behavioral interventions don't work, where there's a situation that there really just isn't a good alternative. And if you are going to use meds, you should have a plan to try to get them off the medication without having that just be an ongoing situation.
These medications, especially the ones that help you sleep, they are addictive in many ways, right?
Not all of them. The ones that are used with children, probably by and large, are not. The antihistamines or clonidine or maybe trazodone, a low dose of one of the old antidepressants that has a sedative side effect. But by and large, the ones that are used for adults do have the addictive potential, yes.
And typically, when you're treating a child that's having a sleep disorder, how often is it a successful treatment, and how often do you find that they just are going to continually have a struggle with sleep?
In terms of behavioral interventions, teaching children, the research along that line has shown that if you stick with it, but this is pretty intensive therapy, 70 to 80% of them will respond.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fairly intensive treatment. Now, with my programs, I certainly have those kind of results, but it's a little easier than having them come back and do several hours of training. For most, it tends to be a wonderful shortcut because it doesn't involve a lot of learning. For most, they can just listen to the programs and off they go.
You're saying stories rather than maybe soothing music, though.
Yeah, I use some music for children, but the core of it is usually taking a walk, and on the walk there's going to be some entertaining and interesting things in the beginning, and then we take them out into nature, and do the soothing and relaxing part of it. So they're sort of magical stories.
Hmm. Dr. Tom Jackson, a psychiatrist specializing in the treatment of sleep disorders and anxiety, and the originator of the Dream Child Adventures audio programs. Dr. Jackson, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
And thank you very much.
And, well, that does it for our week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Feedback, as always, our email address, ccrecap@gmail.com. If you have any questions or any thoughts, please share them with us. And, well, the rest of it's on the website. If you missed anything, you can always check us out online. That's 1320wils.com. And also tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., the 1320 WILS News Week in Review with our news director, Rich Hurl. Check that out. But we're back as usual on Monday, 6 p.m. Join us then. Have a good night.